This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Centre, www.imemc.org, for January 26th through to February 1st, 2008. As the Israeli siege imposed on Gaza leaves four Palestinians dead, factional representatives left this week for Cairo in a bid to open the borders with Egypt. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Let's begin our weekly report with the non-violent actions in Palestine and Israel. IMEMC's Louisa White with the details.
On Friday, the villages of Belain, located near the central West Bank city of Ramallah, along with international and Israeli supporters, conducted their weekly protest against the illegal Israeli wall being built on the village's land. The main theme of this week's demonstration was to commemorate the leader of the Palestinian left, George Habash, who died in Jordan earlier this week due to severe health problems. As is the case each week, the protest started after the Friday prayers. Participants marched from the village centre towards the construction site of the wall that is being illegally built on the village land. Israeli troops installed a military barrier along the way, and as soon as the protesters reached it, the Israeli troops showered the demonstration with tear gas and rubber-coated steel bullets. Three protesters were injured and were taken to a hospital in Ramallah City. In an action sponsored by a coalition of Israeli peace groups, an estimated 2,000 people demonstrated at the Eretz crossing on Saturday to demand an end to Israel's crippling siege of the Gaza Strip. In a gesture of solidarity with besieged Gaza residents, the groups delivered two truckloads of food and other basic supplies. After months of sanctions, Israel has now been imposing a total lockdown on the Strip for over a week, limiting supplies of food, fuel and medicine, supposedly in response to Palestinian rocket attacks on neighbouring Israeli towns. Sponsored by a broad coalition of Israeli organisations, volunteers arrived via bus from Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, Beersheba, Haifa and Nazareth, as well as by private car. Originally planned to be held on hilltop overlooking Gaza, the Israeli military forced a change of venue at the last minute, cordoning off the designated hilltop with barbed wire. Rallying outside the heavily fortified Eretz terminal, the Israeli, Palestinian and international demonstrators could not see their counterparts in Gaza. Yuri Avneri, a prominent leader in the Peace Now movement in Israel, talked to the crowd on Saturday.
The inhumane blockade that has been imposed on 1.5 million human beings in Gaza by our government, by our army, in our name, this siege is continuing in its full cruelty. We, Israelis, from various political camps, have come to bring basic supplies to say to the Israeli public and to the whole world, we will not participate in a crime.
At the same time as the demonstration outside, the campaign to end the siege of Gaza, a campaign group within Gaza, organised a protest on the Gaza side of the Eretz crossing. The two sides communicated with each other with mobile phones over loudspeakers. For IMEMC, this is Louisa White.
Palestinian factional representatives left this week for Cairo in order to forge an agreement on the possibility of running the Rafah crossing terminal in southern Gaza. This and more with IMEMC's Marguerite Mansi.
Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas stated during a meeting in Cairo with his Egyptian counterpart, Hosni Mubarak, that he would not accept any dialogue with the ruling Hamas movement in Gaza until they relinquish control over the Strip. Abbas reiterated his stance that, as outlined in the 2005 U.S.-brokered agreement on running the Rafah terminal, European observers should return to Rafah. Abbas's government in Ramallah had previously proposed taking control of the Rafah crossing in coordination with the Egyptians and the Europeans. European Union observers at the Rafah crossing, who left the coastal region after Hamas took control in June 2007, stated that they will be ready to return to their workplace upon guarantee of their security. The ruling Hamas movement in Gaza utterly rejected the return of the European monitors, stating that the Gaza-Egypt border should be a sovereign Palestinian area, with no intervention from any parties other than the Palestinians and the Egyptians. Asked by the IMEMC whether Hamas will accept the return of European observers, provided that the Europeans' security can be ensured, Fawzi Barhoum, Hamas's spokesperson in Gaza, says,
"It's unfair to differentiate between humans. What is needed is ensuring the safety of the Palestinians. We in the Gaza Strip need to live in security and safety as the region's nations. in the presence of the European observers, the Palestinians who used to cross into the terminal, tens of them have been interrogated, hundreds detained, and even humiliated by the Israeli interrogators inside the crossing.
Last week, hundreds of thousands of Palestinians in Gaza flooded into the nearby Egyptian town of Al-Aresh after Palestinian resistance activists and civilians knocked down a part of the iron wall encircling Gaza's perimeter. Since the Hamas movement took complete control over Gaza in June 2007, the Gaza Strip has been undergoing a crippling Israeli siege. In response to last week's flooding of Gazans into nearby Egypt, the EU's Commissioner General for External Relations, Benita Ferrero-Waldner, said on Thursday that she believed that the closure of the crossing points leading in and out of Gaza had worsened Palestinian conditions. In a related issue, the Israeli High Court of Justice reaffirmed on Wednesday that the Israeli government's cut of fuel supplies to the coastal region does not harm the civilian population and approved such cuts until a policy change takes place within the ruling Hamas movement in Gaza. The court's decision has left Gaza with a huge shortage of gasoline, cooking gas, and fuel needed to generate electricity to serve hundreds of thousands of households. Professor Assad Amusharekh, a local political analyst, views this ruling as improper.
I think this is a very bad, silly, stupid decision against international law, against international humanitarian law. Very bad decision. I think this is going to perpetuate violence in this part of the world. And this is such a decision is not accepted by the Palestinian people or by the Arab people or by the world or by international law. And I think Israel must be punished for taking such a stupid decision against the Palestinian people.
On January 17th, the Israeli government decided to seal off all Gaza's crossings and prevent fuel supplies to the coastal territory, forcing the sole Gaza power plant to shut down completely. On Tuesday, the United States blocked the passage of a non-binding resolution by the United Nations Security Council that would have condemned Israel's actions against Gaza as a collective punishment policy. Gaza's 1.5 million residents currently suffer from daily blackouts, ranging from 8 to 10 hours. According to the Society of Fuel Stations in Gaza, fuel permitted into the Strip is directed mostly to the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, the UN agency responsible for Palestinian refugees. Israel says its actions against Gaza are meant to stop homemade shells being fired into southern Israel. At the Israeli level, retired Israeli judge Eliyahu Winograd, who was appointed by the Israeli parliament to investigate the failures of Israel during its war on Lebanon in the summer of 2006, issued his report on Wednesday. The report stated that there were dangerous political and military failures in managing the war. The report also noted that the war failed and did not accomplish any of its objectives. When it was first made public in 2007, the report threatened the current Israeli government coalition, headed by Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. Israeli political analysts say that the Winograd report placed primary responsibility for the failure on the Israeli military and will therefore likely not jeopardize Prime Minister Olmert's continued leadership, as Israeli political analyst Michael Warchowski explains.
It is an official acknowledgement that the war in Lebanon in summer of 2006 was a complete failure for Israel and a victory for the Lebanese people and the Lebanese resistance. I can easily imagine the government of Ehud Olmert, together with Barak, continuing despite the results of the Vinograd Commission.
The war resulted in the deaths of over 1,200 Lebanese, of whom 1,000 were civilians. 100 Israelis died in the war as well, among them 40 civilians and 60 soldiers. For IMEMC.org, this is Marguerite Mansi.
This week, the Israeli army conducted at least 26 military invasions into Palestinian communities in the West Bank. During those invasions, troops kidnapped 42 Palestinian civilians, including six children. IMEMC's Caroline Jones has the details.
This week, the invasions of the Israeli army were concentrated around the southern West Bank cities of Bethlehem and Hebron, and in the northern part of the West Bank cities of Jenin and Nablus. With the kidnappings this week, the number of Palestinian civilians kidnapped by the Israeli army from the West Bank since the beginning of 2008 now stands at 253. On Monday, Israeli army forces and bulldozers invaded Bethlehem and surrounded a house located in the southern side of the city. The Israeli army said that they were looking for what they call wanted Palestinians. The operation lasted for nearly 5 hours. During the attacks, Israeli troops clashed with local stone-throwing youths and killed Kasai al-Afandi, aged 17, and injured 7 others. Troops left after destroying the house of Mohammed Abdeh and kidnapped him. Abdeh is said to be a member of the Al-Quds Brigades, the armed wing of the Islamic Jihad. Later on Monday evening, the Israeli authorities demolished 2 levels of a 6-story house owned by a Palestinian family located in the northern part of Jerusalem City. The reason given by the Israeli army for this demolition was that the levels had been built without obtaining necessary written permission, a document rarely given to Palestinians living in Jerusalem after the city was occupied in 1967 by Israel. On Wednesday at dawn, one Palestinian civilian was injured during an Israeli army attack targeting the northern West Bank city of Jenin. During the attack, troops kidnapped another 4 civilians. Israeli undercover forces invaded Jenin and surrounded a house in the city centre, claiming that Palestinian resistance fighters were inside. For IMEMC.org, this is Caroline Jones.
The Israeli army attacks and the siege of Gaza this week left 5 Palestinians dead. From Gaza, IMEMC's Rami Al-Maghari with the details.
This week, the number of Palestinians with serious illnesses who died because of the Israeli siege imposed on the Gaza Strip has reached 89. Arafat Ouda, 23, a cancer patient, and Judah Obeid, 56, with a serious illness, were both reported dead by Palestinian medical sources on Thursday morning after the Israeli army would not allow them to leave the coastal region to get medical care. Meanwhile, medical sources reported that Amna al-Majhoun, 60, from Beit Lahia town in the northern part of the Gaza Strip, died on Tuesday after fighting a severe case of a breast cancer, and she died because she was not allowed to leave Gaza for Israeli or West Bank hospitals to get the proper treatment. On Friday, Nadia Al-Omari, 29, was pronounced dead after succumbing to chronic illness. Medical sources said that she was denied permission by the Israeli army to leave Gaza for medical treatment. Israel has placed the Gaza Strip under siege since June 2007. 2 weeks ago, the Israeli army stepped up the siege and sealed off the Gaza Strip borders totally, leaving the 1.1 million residents lacking food, medicine, and fuel supplies. One Palestinian resistance fighter was killed on Thursday morning during clashes that took place between a group of resistance fighters and Israeli troops near the borders between the southern Gaza Strip town of Rafah and Israel. Dr. Muawiyah Hassanein of the Palestinian Ministry of Health reported that Muhammad Al-Da'alsa, 20, died due to being shot with multiple rounds in his body. Al-Aqsa Brigade's armed wing of Fatah movement, headed by the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, said in a press statement that Al-Da'alsa died when a group of fighters from the brigade clashed with Israeli soldiers at the borders. At noon on Wednesday, Israeli jet fighters shelled areas in the northern Gaza Strip town of Beit Hanun. Meanwhile, the Palestinian resistance announced that it had shelled an Israeli military post located on the borders near central Gaza. In Beit Hanun, local sources said that jet fighters shelled a farm and residential areas, causing damage to property, but no injuries. Later in the day, the Al-Quds Brigade, the armed wing of the Islamic Jihad, announced that the group fired 3 homemade shells at an Israeli military post located at the borders between central Gaza and Israel. Israeli sources reported no injuries. For IMEMC.org, this is Rami Al-Maghari in Gaza.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check out our website, www.imemc.org. Thanks for joining us from Occupied Bethlehem. This is Sybil Collins and Ghassan Bannoura.